morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now, here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How we doing?
Good. Marvelous.
Marvelous. You look marvelous. Gentlemen, today we want to talk a little bit about issues such as thirst and hunger. Matthew 25, Jesus makes a comment, "I was thirsty and you gave me a cup of water. I was hungry and you fed me." He seems to impart upon us a mandate that if there are those who are thirsty, we are to provide water. If there are those who are hungry, we're supposed to provide food. That mandate really is couched in the language of justice. So that there's a relationship between issues of thirst and hunger and justice. Well, I think the prophet Amos encountered something very similar. So Mike, you want to go ahead and read from Amos's writings, chapter 2, verses 6 through 8?
This is what the Lord says. "For three sins of Israel, even for four, I will not relent. They sell the innocent for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as on the dust of the ground and deny justice to the oppressed. Father and son use the same girl and so profane my holy name. They lie down beside every altar on garments taken in pledge. In the house of their God, they drink wine taken as fines."
Wines taken as fines. Okay. Any initial responses to that scripture reading, gentlemen?
I think it shows like desperation of people when they have nothing, when they have no food or water, what the depths that they'll go to, you know, to sell themselves or sell out their beliefs.
Okay, who's they that you're referring to?
The oppressed, the poor, the those without. That's what I look at.
Okay, all right.
The poor, oppressed.
Yeah.
I think it's the people who are higher up and selling the people who are below them.
Yeah.
The ones who have more are telling the people that have less who can't really defend themselves or what they believe in.
Yeah, the they is the self-righteous, even temple participants of Israel. Historically, Judah is to the south, right? The kingdom has been divided. So it's kind of like the nation of Israel has been divided into two states. You have the state of Israel, you have the state of Judah. Make sense? Judah's to the south, where its heart is Jerusalem. Israel's to the north, its heart is Samaria. That's the kind of like the capital city. So when you get to Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 4, Jesus at the well with a woman, right? And in that little pericope, she makes a comment. He's like, "Well, you know, you Jews, meaning you of Judah, the territory of Judah, the south, tell us we have to go to Jerusalem to worship. But our ancestors tell us it's here, Jacob's well, right? In Samaria, which is the capital, which we're to worship." Okay? Amos is writing in the 8th century B.C. Amos is just an old farm boy. Farmer Amos. Yeah. Pull up your bib overalls there, Dan. We're going to talk about some farmers.
One of my homies.
Yeah. Famous Amos. And so he, in his writing, he's going to kind of point the fingers all around. Before verse 8 or verse 6, Amos is just kind of laid into Judah. Verse 6 through 8, he's going to lay into Israel. He lays into Judah because of their war crimes. He's going to lay into Israel because of their oppression to the poor. So, Brent, your insight is absolutely right. When it says he sells the righteous, they sell the righteous for silver. Yeah, this is the idea of selling the poor as slaves to pay a debt. sell the needy for a pair of sandals. It's atrocious to think that human beings become commodities.
Yeah, and it says further on here in our study Bible, worse, they were using the clothes as bedding when they went to their shrines to worship God.
Yeah, there was a tradition. If you owed a debt, to kind of pay for that debt, you could go to the temple, right, the worship space, and you could dispel your garments for the day. But your creditor could not hold your garments overnight. And what Amos is pointing out is, imagine you're in debt, and you walk into the local church, some local church even here in Lenawee County, and everybody's just kind of in there doing their normal thing, not really paying too much, and you walk up to the front and you take off your garment and you lay it down. Now they're not even paying you any mind, but you in a sense are paying your debt. But then the end of the day comes and they decided to hang on to your garment. You still owe me. Now, you have to appreciate within the Jewish tradition, there's this idea that, like in the story of Noah, where Noah is in a state of inebriation, he's passed out drunk. And what does his sons do? They kind of take what? Some skins, right?
Okay.
Yeah, and they back in, right? And they kind of like throw it off to cover him because they don't want to see his nakedness. And then when it is discovered, when Noah comes to, he's a little upset, not because he's embarrassed, but this idea that shame falls on those who behold the naked. And Amos is saying, look at it, if you're holding somebody's garment who's trying to pay their debt, you are intentionally participating in a shameful act. When Jesus speaks in Matthew's Gospel in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, look at it, if somebody wants to take your coat, give them your shirt as well. Right? And I used to teach when I was over at Siena Heights on that little pericope that imagine you're going into court and you have to pay this debt and you just start taking your clothes off. And I'll say, all right, Matt, come here. And I pull my shirt off, and, you know, here's my shoes, and here's my socks, and here's my belt, and here's my undershirt, and here's my pants, and here I stand in my dun-dun-dun-dums. Right? What happens if I take those off?
You feel ashamed. Like, you're standing naked, right?
Now, according to Jesus, the reason he says, go ahead and take off those dun-dun-dums and give them to him, because shame falls on the one holding the clothes, not the naked. Just like Noah. The shame is on the person who beholds the naked. And so Amos is saying that these people are paying their debt and they're coming into the courtroom of the temple, of a sacred space, and you're holding their clothes, their garments. Why are you willingly participating in shame? So we see that, Amos is speaking about some of the atrocities that Israel, in its pursuit or in its position of self-righteousness, is exploiting the impoverished. How is this a justice issue, gentlemen?
Well, I think you could look at it as though, you know, if somebody has a debt of whatever kind, it's not okay to take their honor. It's okay
their dignity,
to
hold yeah.
them. Huh?
And their dignity.
And their dignity.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's one thing to hold them, you know, liable for their debt, but that doesn't give us the right to shame them or, like you say, take their dignity.
Okay. Can we flip over to Amos chapter 5? I want to read verses 21 through 23. I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your hearts. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Sounds to me like Amos is saying God's sick and tired of the masquerade. Mm-hmm. Don't come into this temple and do all your religious rituals while you're exploiting the poor. Jesus, in Matthew's Gospel, will say, look it, go for me and learn what it means. I do not want sacrifice. I desire mercy and justice. That perhaps the true form of worship is mercy and justice.
Yeah, even, you know, you could say, not just exploiting the poor, but just ignoring the poor and the fact that there are poor among us and in need. and to go to worship, and just put that out of our lives and our minds.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
I think definitely the one thing we are called to do, and one thing that is of most importance as a Christian, is love. And that not being not placed, I guess just love should move you to fight injustice and fight poverty and take care of the needy and not exploit them and help try to create a community where that's not even happening. But I mean, you can't really do that without love.
Yeah, you really can't practice mercy and you can't practice justice without it being motivated by love, and love being sacrificial on looking at the well-being of the other. Mercy and justice are the two pillars of compassion. Mercy without justice is folly. Justice without mercy is tyranny. Compassion is really the inclusion of both of those for the well-being of the other. Now, we hear Jesus in the Gospels talking about, look at the poor you're going to have with you all the time, which is not his endorsement that we will always have poverty, but there will always be someone in which you can practice mercy and justice. You will always have the opportunity to manifest my presence here forth. And when we think about biblical justice, right, that poverty is not a cause. Poverty is an invitation to practice justice. And sometimes that justice in the Bible, like what Amos is speaking about, means we need to do some redistribution, right, of items so that everybody, like in the book of Acts, has what they need. That it's also, justice is a dignity thing. That we need to recognize the sacred in the other and elevate their dignity.
Right.
Are you going to say something?
No, I was agreeing with what you said. That, you know, we have a responsibility to uphold the dignity of others.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the cultural rights. We're calling forth their value. We see value in them. And that we're willing to stand alongside of them in a spirit of solidarity. We're willing to participate with them in their pursuit of their rights. And then, I think we see all of that is what Lenawee County Mission strives to do. Right? So right. When the homeless comes here, we'll offer them the cup of cold water. We'll provide them with a meal. Right? We'll come alongside of them in their brokenness and say that they have value. And usually when men show up here, they're pretty broke up. They may not clearly see the value in themselves. Somebody needs to lift them up, not exploit them. Could you imagine if a homeless man came to Lenawee County Mission and all he had was the clothes on his back and we said, give them to me? This is what Amos is experiencing. And he says, that does not reflect God. That is not true worship.
You tell somebody they're a dog enough, they're going to start believing that they're nobody. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the oppressor with their foot on the oppressed for so long. I mean, they need somebody to just come and tell them, like, you know, like Jesus obviously came to save and to set free. Like, for me, this ministry is based on that. Like, that's how I believe in love. If there wasn't love, this ministry wouldn't be here. And there would no, obviously, I'm going to mess up. You know, I don't want to, but there's always a space I can come back to strengthen me so I can learn, and there's always something new when I come back. So, I mean, I guess there's that reinforcement that, you know, that I'm still a human being, that, you know, other guys will tell me that it's going to be okay.
I think one of a kind of mission, we provide more than food, water, and a place to sleep.
Yeah.
I think we try to make them feel as part of a family and try to begin to heal some of the brokenness. The dignity that we were just talking about, I think they find some of that here. So, and they realize that they do have value and they do have a place in the community.
So they can keep the clothes on their back and we'll provide them with more clothes.
Yeah, all that. It's the same reason, you know, Fish's Little's food pantry is set up like a grocery store. So that's to recognize and value and elevate the dignity of those who come there in need of, you know, hunger relief. Okay, gentlemen, well, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.